Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich, winners of the Brokers Ireland Investment Excellence Award each year since 2014. Now that's reassuring.
Thousands of Palestinians have begun leaving the central Gazan city of Deir al-Bala, trying to escape a new Israeli ground and air military offensive in the area. The city is densely populated and full of displaced families living in tents. Israel has not previously targeted the city by ground. Elsewhere in Gaza, at least 49 Palestinians have been killed in Israeli attacks. Just before coming on air, I spoke with British gastrointestinal surgeon Nick Maynard, who's currently in Gaza. He's working at Nasser Hospital in Khan Yunis. And I first asked him about conditions there.
Thank you for asking me on. That's correct. I'm in Nasser Hospital in Khan Yunis. The conditions are awful. What's going on, the amount of mass casualties coming in every day and night is just appalling. It's overwhelming the hospital. And it's relentless. I've been here for 4 weeks now, and it's the same every day. We're seeing huge number of injuries coming in with explosive injuries from bombs, but we're also seeing a large number of gunshot wounds, predominantly from the food distribution sites. So the amount of trauma coming in is just terrible. And of course, the other real problem here is the terrible malnutrition, which is affecting all the patients here, adults and children.
And we'll get to that in just a second. But you've spoken in another interview recently of a pattern of injuries. Can you explain to us what you mean by that?
Yeah, so this is my third trip out here in the last 18 months. And the difference between this trip and previous trips, there are many similarities, obviously, but what we're seeing now we didn't see before is the large volume of gunshot wounds, and they're all, virtually all of them, coming from the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation, bizarrely named, food distribution points. And these, I haven't seen them myself, but a lot of colleagues, Gazan colleagues, have been there to get food, and they are set up to create chaos and rioting. And what's happening is that a lot of the particularly young males, male teenagers, sometimes as young as 11, 12, 13, are going there to get food for their starving families. And amongst all the chaos there, they're being shot by Israeli soldiers and by the quadcopters, the remotely controlled drones with guns attached to them. Mm-hmm. And I've seen multiple admissions of young teenage males being shot in this way. And we're seeing a very clear pattern of injuries, a cluster of injuries of particular parts of the body, almost according to the day of the week. And this is something that my colleagues in the emergency room have recognized for several weeks. I've certainly seen it amongst the patients I'm seeing, and all the other surgical specialists are seeing the same. So on one day, for example, there'll be predominantly gunshot wounds to the head. The next day, there'll be gunshot wounds to the neck. The next day, with the chest. The next day, the abdomen. A week ago, we saw four young teenage boys all brought in with gunshot wounds to the testicles only. So there is a very clear pattern, and it appears to be almost like target practice, a game they're playing. And these are devastating injuries, some of them being killed. I had a 12-year-old boy die on the operating table from one of these gunshot wounds, which injured his abdominal aorta. So devastating injuries, but a very clear pattern which suggests very strongly that they're almost playing a game.
And it's absolutely barbaric. If it's organized almost, like you say, like a game. But how do you know it's not Hamas, like the IDF claim?
Because there is no evidence at all to suggest it is Hamas, and large amount of evidence suggests it's Israeli soldiers. So I haven't been there myself, but I have asked all the patients I've operated on, all their relatives, and indeed many of my Gazan healthcare colleagues who have been to these food distribution points. And these are people, some of whom I've known for years, whom I would trust implicitly. And they are all telling me exactly the same narrative, that it is Israeli soldiers who are doing the shooting. So I'm in no doubt from what I have heard that this is the case.
So you're seeing these catastrophic injuries and very often fatal injuries, and you're trying to treat them as medical supplies have dwindled and medical equipment. You say you've run out completely of intravenous liquid fluids, for example.
Yeah, so we can't feed people intravenously with nutrition at all. we have very, very limited supplies of liquid feed, which we can put down feeding tubes. These are patients who are coming in profoundly malnourished anyway. That means their ability to heal, for their tissues to repair following the terrible injuries and following our major surgery, is very impaired. So a lot of the repairs we do to the liver, the pancreas, the duodenum, the bowel, they fall to pieces because they're not healing. And they need even more nutrition when they're in such a state. We can't give it to them in the hospital. There's no intravenous feed. We have very limited supplies of liquid feed, but none of that has come into Gaza at all since the last ceasefire. And it's been denied entry.
And we've heard of the scarcity, Nick, of baby formula, for example. And you say you've seen young babies who are severely malnourished.
Yeah, I mean, I never would have imagined in the 21st century I could see malnutrition like this. And it's particularly stark, as you say, on the paediatric unit, in the neonatal intensive unit, in the paediatric intensive care unit. I've seen there have been four newborn, premature newborn babies who've died entirely of malnutrition in the last few weeks. Their mothers were too malnourished to breastfeed. There's inadequate amounts of formula feed. So they died of malnutrition on the intensive care unit. These little children with explosive injuries and major surgery are losing weight because there's not enough food to give them, not enough feed to give them. Some American colleagues of mine, when they came into Gaza 2 weeks ago, they brought in formula feed because they knew how desperate the need was. And every single carton of formula feed was taken away from them, was confiscated by the Israeli border guards. Very the formula feed. Nothing else they had with them.
Why?
They were specifically taking away the formula feed.
What was the reason given for taking it away?
They don't give a reason at all. I mean, we all get our luggage searched going through. They give you no reason for why they're taking things away. And one can only speculate. So I can't even begin to imagine what's going through their minds. But what is not in doubt is they were taking away every single carton of formula feed and preventing it coming in.
You also say that you have colleagues, that you're working with colleagues in Gaza now that are almost unrecognisable because of malnutrition as well.
Yeah, I was operating with someone this morning. We were operating on a major trauma, and someone I've known for some time, he's lost 30 kilograms in the last 20 months. They are starving as much as all. You know, most of these healthcare workers I work with, they're going home at the end of their 24-hour shift to a tent with their family. They're going via the food distribution point to try and get food for their family. So they're starving as much as anyone else. And it is some of them unrecognizable. Many of them have been killed. One of the a really lovely male scrub nurse I worked with 2 weeks ago was killed 4 days ago in his tent with his three small children. Another Gazan surgeon whom I know well, he and I were both operating together 10 days ago on a major trauma. And during the operation, someone came in to tell him his sister had just been killed, so he had to leave. So these Gazan healthcare workers are putting up with stresses which are unimaginable for the rest of us. It is quite heroic how they manage to carry on working under these circumstances.
Can I ask you this, though? When we discuss this with people on the Israeli side, and there are people on the Israeli side who are quite critical of what's happening, I should make that clear. But there are people on the Israeli side, be they government spokespeople or journalists or whoever, and when we ask them about the death toll in Gaza, they say that's from the Hamas health ministry. Why would you believe that? When we ask them about problems getting aid into Gaza, they deny it, that aid is flowing. When we ask them about injuries that you've outlined, for example, they say it's either Hamas or it's not true. What do you say to those people?
Well, they're lying. I mean, beyond any doubt in my mind, on these claims, when analysed, doesn't bear any credibility whatsoever. But listen, don't listen to the Ministry of Health in Gaza. Listen to me. Listen to the many other medics who've been into Gaza and witnessed these things. The mortality rates they're putting out are entirely compatible with what we are seeing. Indeed, if you include all the excess deaths, the deaths from non-trauma related things, which we're seeing all the time, the mortality rate is almost certainly far, far higher than those figures put out by the Ministry of Health.
Professor Maynard, when I point out that British surgeons like you or US doctors that we talk to have outlined the injuries and the situations in terms of hospitals and so on, they say you were a mouthpiece for Hamas. You're reporting false news. So how would you respond to that?
Well, I mean, it's a ludicrous accusation. I mean, it's if it were not so tragic, it would be laughable. I mean, it's a nonsensical accusation that there have been dozens upon dozens of US doctors, UK doctors, Australian doctors, all of whom have said the same thing, all of whom have borne witness to the atrocities that have been carried out. We're not out here for political reasons. We're out here for humanitarian reasons. We tell it as it is. I've been very careful to talk about what I have seen or what very close friends of mine have seen. And I'm very clear that the atrocities we're seeing are exactly as we have described, and that the excuses, the lies the Israelis put out are nonsensical in my view.
Can I ask you one final thing then about not the Israeli response, but the US response, for example, and the Western response in general? What would you say to people in power in the US or the European Union, for that matter?
That they are complicit in what is going on. It has been within the ability of our Western governments to stop this, certainly the US government, but with pressure from our government and the EU government. I think they are complicit. I think they have. I cannot begin to understand why our politicians have effectively supported what is going on. They know what's going on. They know precisely the numbers of deaths that have been carried out. I've been down to see our senior politicians. I've shown them in large laminated colour photographs of babies missing arms, missing legs, shot in the head. They've seen it and they have failed to act.
Do you mean in the UK or here in Ireland?
In the UK. Okay. And in the UK, I'm so sorry, and in the US.
When you show them those photos, what do they say?
Oh, so some of them express sympathy. Oh, how terrible. Yes, we must do what we can. One senior politician in the UK just dismissed it out of hand, said, well, that's not true. That's not happening. You know, despite the blatant evidence I was putting under his nose. So I cannot begin to understand why our politicians are allowing this. By our politicians, I'm talking about UK politicians. I'm not speaking about Irish politicians. I think your country's been a lot better than our government, but I can't explain it. I cannot understand how they're allowing it to happen.
Professor Nick Maynard in Khan Yunis in Al Nasser Hospital in Gaza, thank you very much indeed for joining us.
Thank you for having me.